From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
It was amazing. It was probably one of the best experiences of my life because I've always wanted to have my own talk show. So I got to do a panel show and do politics and entertainment and interview people. I had the best time. Now, don't get me wrong, Barbara. For 3 years on my stint at The View, the first 3 years, because she was so tough on me. But I later found out Barbara Walters is very tough on people that she loves and that she expects a lot from.
Sherry Shepherd, actress, comedian, author, game show host, and television personality. Shepherd is a multi-talent entertainer with exuberant charm and charisma. She is probably best known for work as a co-host on The View from 2007 to 2014. She received several awards for her work on the program. Since leaving The View in 2014, Shepherd has continued to make several appearances on the show as a guest host and lead contributor throughout 2015 and 2016. At the time of this production, Shepherd is starring in the movie Brian Banks along with Morgan Freeman. Shepherd had always been the entertainment at family gatherings, and on the suggestion of a stranger at a girl's night out, she decided to take a leap of faith. This past summer, Shepherd served as the ambassador for the 7th annual Capital City Black Film Festival held in Austin, Texas. The festival featured film screenings of documentaries, features, shorts, and music videos from talented filmmakers from around the world. I'm Johnny O. Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, multi-talented Sherry Shepherd, In Black America.
I hope so. I don't want to be the Lone Ranger out here.
I
hope that young women look at me and see that through hard work and belief and fear, mm-hmm. is, you know, because I run towards things that scare me. I hope I inspire young women to say, I want to try that. I want to do that. If Sherry can host a game show, I'm one of the, I don't think there's a black female who was hosting a game show when I started doing.
I can't think of any.
Yeah, I don't want to diss anybody, but I really don't think. Aisha Tyler did Talk Soup. There's not been a black woman hosting a game show. Wendy Williams did it for a short period of time, but I'd already started doing the Newlywed Game. So I hope there's a young black woman going, I want to host a game show. I love game shows. I want to do stand-up. I want to do it all.
Sherry Shepherd is the ultimate performer. She's a successful actress, comedian, television host, producer, author, and entrepreneur, making her one of entertainment's most diversified and sought-after performers. In 1990, Shepherd began her stand-up comedy career while working in Beverly Hills as a legal secretary. In 1995, she took a leap of faith and quit her secretarial job. 12 days later, she was booked on a TV series. Shepherd is best known for a role as Rona Platt on the ABC sitcom Less Than Perfect. Born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, she is the eldest of three sisters. In 2006, Shepherd was a frequent guest co-host on ABC's The View. From 2007 to 2014, she was a permanent co-host on the program. She received several awards for her work on the show. This past summer, Shepherd served as an ambassador for the 7th Annual Capital City Black Film Festival held in Austin, Texas. While in Austin, Shepherd sat down with In Black America in studio.
Good morning, afternoon. Good hot day. Good hot day.
I know that's right. I am so happy to have you in studio. Sherry, can I call you Sherry?
You can call me Sherry,
Call you Sherry. Give us an idea what was life like growing up in Chicago.
Oh, growing up in Chicago, I had a lot of family on the South Side. So I remember Double Dutch, Hopscotch. You know, they used to have like the little candy stores, little illegal candy stores in the backyard. You got to go all the way through the bushes, through the back, the garage where you're not supposed to go, and getting little cookies that had the little strawberry frosting, pickles from the jar. You get the pickles, we get potato chips popcorn. I remember White Castle, Fun Town. We go to the Evergreen Plaza, always riding the train, the bus. My two aunties used to dance on Soul Train,
mm-hmm.
because Soul Train started in Chicago.
Right, right.
But what I remember most is in church, going to church. It seemed like church lasted for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Did you dare fall asleep, because your mother would pinch that piece of fat right up underneath your arms. But what I most remember is just family and love. I miss Chicago because it's such a, just a home for me. And everybody's just very down to earth.
Did you ever go to Operation
Push? I didn't. I was young when I moved from Chicago.
Any brothers and sisters?
Oh, I have two sisters, but they're in California with me. And my stepsister's now at Florida A&M. She's a professor there. So my dad is still there with my stepmom. But I still have a multitude of cousins. As a matter of fact, I was just there 3 weeks ago because I rented out a big theater. Mm-hmm. And I had 50 to 60 young black men come and watch my film, Brian Banks.
Okay.
They brought the parents and I brought a bunch of my family to this theater so we could watch Brian Banks together.
Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. What were some of your favorite subjects while you were in school?
Reading English.
Really?
I'm amazing in English. Didn't like math. Once they told me I could drop out at algebra, I was gone. You never saw me in a math class again. I learned how to count money. It has served me well. So English, reading, writing. I loved writing. And anything that was in the arts, I was always volunteering for all of the variety shows.
And what particularly drew you to entertainment? You mentioned the
You know, my family, the Shepherds, they're all funny. I'm just the only one that makes money at it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the one that makes the money. But there are people in my family that are far funnier than me. But on Sundays, we would have the Shepherd Family Show. And everybody with their different talents would get together. And I always made people laugh. Because I do something, they had a dance called the California Shake. And we would dance. But I just used to always make people laugh. And my family was always cutting up. And then when we moved to California, I just kind of got involved in the comedy club scene. So that thing, which I always did naturally, then I started making money at it.
Were you a participant in the talent shows while you were in high school?
Oh, I was always in the talent shows. We were making up dance routines and, you know, I never did any stand-up. I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. But it always had a funny twist in it when I was doing it. I was doing plays. I always loved performing.
How would you describe your comedy?
My comedy is a mixture of family, because I talk about my son quite a bit because my son is 14 and mm-hmm. he went from being this child that I could kiss all the time who smelled like mango and pineapple. And now he smells like somebody's booty. Just like he don't wash up. He uses Axe and his room smells like a serial killer. So dealing with this 14-year-old, dealing with, you know, my life of divorces and also just being grown, dating. So, you know, going back into the dating field. So that's really kind of what I talk about. It's family. And my life.
Let's talk about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an idea of the concept for that movie.
Oh, Brian Banks. It's called Brian Banks. And it is the true story of a young football player who was rated number 11 in the nation mm-hmm. as a defensive lineman. And he went to a school in Long Beach. Brian Banks was accused of rape by a student in the school. And at 16 years old, they took him from his mother. They put him in jail. And at 17, they coerced him into taking a plea bargain and pleading no contest, which is 97% of our young black men plead out. And he thought he was going to go home because he was an A student if he pled no contest. And he ended up getting 6 years in prison at 17 years old. He was tried as an adult. He served 5.5 years. He got out, walked around with an ankle bracelet on his ankle for 5 years. Couldn't even go to his cousin's birthday parties. No family get-togethers because there were children. Mm-hmm. He had the label of pedophile. He couldn't get a job. So in essence, he was still in prison, Brian. The accuser contacted him on Facebook. And he got together with her and secretly recorded her. And on tape, she admitted that she had lied. So what do you do when your dreams of playing pro football? Because he got recruited to USC. So he would have been in the pro. But it was a journey of him trying to get exonerated. So he enlisted the help of the Innocence Project, which is a wonderful group whose mission it is to free wrongly incarcerated people and to truncate 10 years into 30 seconds. They ended up getting him exonerated. And it's like, how do you get your life back? How do you forgive? How do you let go? How do you get your dream back? And walk around, like if you ever meet Brian Banks, he's a wonderful guest, on how do you just get your smile back?
How did you feel?
And I play his mother, Leomi. Yeah. I play Brian Banks' mother.
That's where I was going. Mm-hmm. As a mother and understanding his circumstances and having a teenager yourself.
Yes.
What type of emotions, heartstrings did that pull while you were making that film?
Oh, wow. Even when I read the script, Jeffrey, my son Jeffrey at the time was 12 years old. And I said, mm-hmm. This Jeffrey could be Brian Banks. Mm-hmm. And even now, 14, with him getting a beard, I thought he had dirt on his face. But he proudly pointed out, no, mommy, it's a beard. Mm-hmm. I have a 14-year-old who still calls me mommy. He still could be Brian Banks. Mm-hmm. You know, he will walk up to a police officer and want to hug him, you know, and he's very demonstrative. My son, he has special needs. And so when I read this story of this woman, Leomi, her love for her son, I was in tears because this woman, you know, advocated for her son, fought for her child, did everything she could to keep, she was a single mom, to keep him out of trouble, put him and his brother and sister in sports. And mm-hmm. yet and still, yeah. this thing visited her at her door, and she would drive 3.5 hours every there and 3.5 hours back every week to see her son in prison. For 5.5 years, she wrote him a letter a week. Mm-hmm. You know, she never stopped fighting for her son, and she believed in his innocence. And even if you go see the movie Brian Banks, the monologue that I do at the end to convince the DA to let, you know, to let, what do you call it, let his case go. It was her own monologue that she did before to the DA. Okay. It was her own words. So that's what drew me to this woman of faith, this very strong woman who didn't think she was strong. She just was his mother. And that's right. what we are. We're just mothers, right. but mothers have a lot of strength. So even filming that's what I was going into, because I do have a child, a black son.
Who also starred in the movie with you?
Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman played a gentleman named Jack Jones, who actually changed Brian Banks' life in prison. He got Brian Banks to see that anger is not going to serve you here. Mm-hmm. You have a right to be angry, but you will be in prison in your mind. So how are you going to serve your time? It's up to you. You determine how you're going to react and respond to things. And literally, this man, Jack Johnson is his name, changed his life in the way he saw himself. And Greg Kinnear played Justin Brooks, the head of the Innocence Project. Aldis Hodge from the show Underground. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got a show called City on the Hill on Showtime. Right, right. And he was in What Men Want. He played Brian Banks. And then you got me, who played Leomi, Brian Banks' mother.
All right. We'll be back with more in Black America after this message. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Sherry Shepherd. Ms. Shepherd, you were part of The View for a couple of seasons. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, I was actually a part of The View for seven seasons. Eight seasons, actually. After Barbara left, I filled in for that eighth season. It was amazing. It was probably one of the best experiences of my life, because I've always wanted to have my own talk show. So I got to do a panel show and do politics and entertainment and interview people. I had the best time. Now, don't get me wrong, Barbara Walters was very hard on me. I cried for 3 years on my stint at The View, the first 3 years, because she was so tough on me. But I later found out Barbara Walters is very tough on people that she loves and that she expects a lot from. Whoopi was tough on me. You guys might know it's Whoopi Goldberg. That Karen Johnson. Woo! Love Whoopi. You know, Whoopi was tough on me because she expected a lot from me.
Lessons learned from that experience.
Don't take no for an answer.
Okay.
Be curious about people. Ask questions that other people don't ask. Really dig deep. Do your research. Be prepared. Read.
I understand. Tell us about the game show.
I have a game show on the Game Show Network called Best Ever Trivia Show. And it's with Ken Jennings, who's the longest running winner on Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And it's a bunch of different experts in their field. And you have to go up against them with trivia. I love trivia. So when they asked me to do that, I jumped at it. I also was the host of the Newlywed Game.
Right.
On the Game Show Network. So this is my second game show that I've under my belt.
And seeing you in your multifaceted career, what do you enjoy doing most? Or all of them just
Oh, my gosh. And then I have a sitcom, Mr. Iglesias,
right,
with Fluffy the Comic. That's back for a second season on the Netflix channel. And then doing stand-up. What do I like the most? I love it all. Gosh, I love doing stand-up because it's just me on stage taking you on a journey. But I love acting. It's play pretend. And I make a bunch of money doing stuff that I used to do when I was 4 years old. And when I did it to, you remember how you used in school, you used to zone out, mm-hmm. and they put that on your report card? He was a class clown. And that's what you get a whooping for? Right. You never wanted your parents to see that report card? And I go, I'm getting paid to be the class clown, and I'm getting paid when I zone out. Like, because you have to zone out to go into this acting. And I go, and I always tell my dad, it paid off. Like, you used to give me a whooping all the time, but I'm making money at it. You know, I got to buy you a car.
I understand.
So I love it all.
I read somewhere when you began stand-up, you was working as a legal assistant or something?
I was a legal secretary.
Yeah.
And a bunch of legal secretaries. You know, when you're a secretary, you come to work at 9, you leave at 5, you go to bed at 8. You know, it's just a kind of normal existence. And I said, let's do something different. Let's do something wild. And our wild night was we went to Sizzler. And we got all-you-can-eat shrimp with the garlic toast. And then we went to a comedy club called The Comedy Store, which was on the Sunset Strip. And Richard Pryor was famous for having been there. And we were waiting and for the show to start. And I was making people laugh around me. Mm-hmm. And I was just being me. And then a man named Andrew Dice Clay got up. And that's when he was doing his hickory dickory dock, and then you know the rest.
Yes, right.
And he made all the women mad in the club, and one woman turned around and she said, you could do what he does, and you're not going to make anybody mad. And you know, and I learned from that moment, your words can plant a seed. Your words can tear someone down or build them up. And that woman will never know that she planted a seed within me. And I saw Eddie Griffin, and I saw people laughing at what he said, and Charlie Fleischer. And I remember going to Eddie Griffin and Andrew Dice Clay after the club, and I said, how do I do what you do? And they both said, you just do it. And I said, but I'm scared. I don't remember which one of them said it, but I think it was Eddie. He said, well, then do it scared. And that's been my mantra for life, do it scared. And I went home and I asked all the secretaries, you think I could do stand-up? And they said, it's going to take 10 or 20 years and in the business, and you're not going to make it. And, you know, you're making a good salary, making $41,000 a year with your pension. And no, don't do it. It's so, and one, it only takes one person to say yes. My girlfriend, Danetta McKinney, said, if you don't try it, you'll never know.
Right.
And now Danetta, when I tried it and became successful, it prompted her to quit being a legal secretary.
Really?
She always wants to sell real estate. She's one of the top real estate agents in Phoenix, Arizona. Billboards all over the freeway. That I prompted her. She's very successful at selling real estate. But it only takes, you know, somebody's words can plant some seeds. So that's how I started.
You're in Austin this week.
Yes.
Well, this weekend.
This weekend. Yeah.
For the 7th Annual Capital City Black Film Festival. Why did you accept the invitation?
They asked me to be ambassador. And I was like, is it a parade? And they said, no, it's not a parade. I was like, do I get free food? What's going on? No, but I was really excited because this year, the Cap City Black Film Festival, they're putting a spotlight on women who are making a difference in the film industry in front of the camera and behind the camera, women of color, black women. And I figure I fit the bill. I'm a black woman, you know, and I think I'm making strides and inroads and doing some stuff. And I love that they were celebrating black women because it's been very hard for us to get the salary that, you know, our counterparts get. We're kind of low on the totem pole. So when they said that and they, you know, wanted to feature rising young women and the black women rising, I said, this is something that I would love to be a part of. So I said, yeah, I'll come down. I've never been to Austin before. And they all got great tacos and barbecue.
And speaking of women in the industry, was it a mindset that women weren't box office or they just didn't care?
Oh, absolutely. Hollywood felt women were not box office draws. I did a film with Katherine Heigl from Grey's Anatomy, and it was called One for the Money. And this is a bestseller book by an author who, you know, when she writes books, it flies off the shelf. It took 14 years to get it made. It was with John Leguizamo, and 14 years to get it made because they said women are not box office stars. They can be if they're paired with a man who's a box office star. It has been very, very hard to, it's even leading shows, being the leader of a show. I mean, as far as black women leading a show, you know, you have Viola Davis, my best friend in the whole world, my bridesmaid, Niecy Nash, she's got claws. You know, you had Gabrielle Union with Being Mary Jane. Now you see more black women being the lead of shows where before, I used to have the moniker, people used to call me, you the black girl on all the white TV shows. That's what everybody called me because it was only one of us running around, you know, and it's exciting to see how people are opening up with Alina Waithe, with Ava DuVernay, with so many, you know, women who are showrunners. I love it.
Are young women following your lead in as that they feel that they can do what you do now?
I hope so. I don't want to be the Lone Ranger out here.
I
hope that young women look at me and see that through hard work and belief and fear, is, you know, because I run towards things that scare me. I hope I inspire young women to say, I want to try that. I want to do that. If Sherry can host a game show, I'm one of the, I don't think there's a female, a black female who was hosting a game show when I started doing.
I can't think of it.
Yeah, I don't want to diss anybody. But I really don't think Aisha Tyler did Talk Soup. There's not been a black woman hosting a game show. Wendy Williams did it for a short period of time, but I had already started doing the Newlywed Game. So I hope there's a young black woman going, I want to host a game show. I love game shows. I want to do stand-up. I want to do it all. You know, Whoopi Goldberg, excuse me, Karen Johnson, she was the middle square on the Hollywood, on Hollywood Squares. And even still, when they asked me to host the Newlywed Game, a lot of people told me no. They said, you're an actress. You're just far below you. Now you've seen every celebrity in the world hosting game shows because you make a lot of money. And everybody said, don't do it. They're not going to take you seriously. And Whoopi Goldberg walked in that room. I call her Karen when she's serious. Karen Johnson walked in that room and she said, you do that show because ain't nobody paying the bills for you and your son. Ain't nobody sending no card with money. You do that show and you hold your head up high. That was Karen Johnson.
How much work is it that goes into a game show? Because we only see the final product, but I'm quite sure there's tape, retake.
Yes.
You know, stuff happens.
it's a process. You can, but it's a mental thing because you do an entire season, which is 65 shows, in probably 65 shows in about 13 days.
What?
So you're doing a week. They're called strips. Uh-huh. So a strip is an entire week. It's 5 days. You're doing 5 days in one day. So you're constantly, you know, doing shows. So 65 shows in 13 days. Imagine how hectic that schedule is. And if at the time when I was doing the Newlywed Game, I was doing The View. So I would leave The View at 12:30 and do the Newlywed Game from 1 o'clock till 9 o'clock at night.
And then redo it all over again the next day.
And I'll redo it all over again the next day. And then when they picked it up for season 2 and 3, I did that. And that was done in 26 days. At one point, I was going couple number 2. I said, I'm having a nervous breakdown. It's too much. And then we spaced it out because I was a mother, a single mother, and I had a child. So they worked it out for me. But it can be very grueling, but it's satisfying. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's something that if it's a kind of game show that you love, then it's fun. When people come on, play with you.
How important is it to have a level of confidence and somewhat an ego to do all this?
You do have to have a certain confidence because they don't, you know, if you're the trembling person and you're scared, I just say don't show it.
You won't make
it. Yeah, you have to act. Well, that's what acting is. You have to act as if. So when you walk in a room, you have to act as if you're confident. You have men have it a little bit easier, planky. I think when we play cocky, people look at you and go, oh, you think you all that. So we got a little bit harder, but it's very important to go in like you're confident. You would be surprised at the number of actors if you talk to them when they go up on these VMA awards and they perform, how terrified they are. Mm-hmm. Because we always feel like they're going to find out that we're just a nerd. But you have to project it. It's very important, projecting that confidence. That's why I always tell young people when you're getting started, do your homework, be prepared. So take classes so you can walk in a room and project that I'm very confident. That goes a long way. Let me tell you something. When you go on audition, if you don't project, projecting confidence is a third of that game because you can intimidate a lot of people. I'm not confident when I go in a room, but I'll tell you, you never think that. I walk in that room like I'm about to book this job. I don't know about y'all. That intimidates people.
A lot of people don't understand that there's two words for entertainment. There's show and business.
Absolutely.
So what is it about that we need to understand about business?
You have to know the business end of the show. It's not all about acting and having fun. Mm-hmm. You got to know the business end. You got to know about your money. You got to know about how to negotiate. You got to know about, having a great team around you. You have to know when, you know, contracts. It's so, otherwise they'll take advantage of you. One of the things that I love was Rosie O'Donnell. When I first got my offer to co-host The View, mm-hmm. I didn't know. They offered me a very low salary. I didn't know. Rosie O'Donnell, thank God, said, she was a host at the time. She said, this is what I'm making. This is what Joy is making. This is what Elizabeth Hasselbeck is making. So this is what you should ask for. What she told me I should ask for versus what they offered me was significantly different. And had I not had Rosie O'Donnell in the background coaching me, I wouldn't have gotten anything. And so I think that you have to know the business. You have to know. I always tell people, if you get an offer, especially the young ladies, because we get paid less than men, your first offer, always say no. That first offer that you get, sometimes you're thinking, I ain't never made that much money. Oh my God, all this money. Why am I talking like that? That's when my cousin talks. All this money. I ain't never made all this money. No. Your first offer is always no, because they have money. And you negotiate from there. But a lot of times women, we're afraid to say no because we're afraid it's going to go away.
Speaking of going away and money, what you do is not long term, so to speak. So how is it important for you to
live? I hope it's long term. Oh, my gosh. Well, I know exactly what you're saying.
It's not a steady paycheck.
I have to be prepared for if it ends.
One may end and one may begin. But it's not like having a regular 8-to-5 job and you got a paycheck that you know you're going to receive.
That's a steady, that's permanent,
week.
That's stability.
Exactly.
This is not a business of stability. Right. And I tell people, if you want stability, you better run from the entertainment industry, the music industry. It is not stable. You used to be working at the post office. Remember how your family would tell you get that government job because you never get fired?
I talked to Robert Townsend a couple of weeks ago and I said, I always remember that it's always work at the post office.
Work at the post office or get a job at the Ford Motor Plants.
Right.
And you thought that was a job that would last forever. And even as we see now, not at all. It's government shutdowns. But the entertainment industry is not stable at all. It is a job where you'll look up and you go, whatever happened to? Oh, my God, I haven't seen that person in a while. It is one of those jobs. And you're constantly having to say what you have to be proactive, especially people of color. They don't just run after us. I remember talking to Niecy Nash one time, and they don't be checking for black people like that unless you real big Will Smith and the Will Smith, LL Cool J, Jamie Foxx, Tiffany Haddish. Regular black folks, you ain't gonna see us on TMZ. They're not going through our garbage can. You know, the stuff does not get thrown in our lap. We have to go for it. And you have to constantly think, how can I reinvent myself? How can I do something different? That's why I love Queen Latifah. Mm-hmm. At any given moment, you will see Queen Latifah. She keeps her rap career, but she'll be doing a weight loss commercial. She produces movies. Queen Latifah is one. She's multi faceted, and we have to be that in this business. And so it is not a business, and you can't sit around and wait for people. I'm just waiting for the right role. You take your cell phone and make a movie. There's so many streaming services out here, the Netflix, the Hulus, the Google, even little streaming services. They're looking for content. Right. So if you have a dream, get your friends together. Don't wait for, I don't have money for a cameraman. Use that phone, write a script, produce. There's so many things you can do. If you have a dream, make it happen. Robin Thede, who's doing the Black Lady sketch show, they got renewed for a second season. She said, get all your black girlfriends together and make magic. You have to create your magic. That's what this is how you stay relevant in the business.
Sherry Shepherd, actress, comedian, author, game show host, and television personality. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.